ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
What's happening on the big screen and the small? What to watch?
Joining us for a look at films and screens, big and small, when Lee Ma, Nightlife's critic of everything that's worth looking at and not. When Lee, good evening to you.
Hello.
Now, we've got The Christophers as a comedy, Tuna and Cape Fear. Interested to hear what you've got to say about Cape Fear. Tell me about The Christophers. What's this?
Yeah, this is a what the industry calls a two-hander, in that it is predominantly between two characters. It is, I guess, in theory, an art caper.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Steven Soderbergh movie.
It's in cinemas, isn't it?
It's in cinemas. Mm. It stars Ian McKellen and Michaela Cole, who did I May Destroy You, and has probably one of the most interesting faces on screen. I can't stop just looking at her face. I think she's such an interesting presence.
Mm-hmm.
And Ian McKellen plays a character called Julian Scar. He was a renowned artist in his, you know, later years, let's say that. And he was renowned in particular for the three series of artworks that he created called The Christophers, which were portraits of his then lover. So the first two series were out in the world. They have been sold and collected. One piece from the series will fetch like £2 million. And there's a third series, which is unfinished and is like in his attic. And he hasn't touched them for decades. And his two estranged children know this, played by Jessica Gunning and James Corden. And they are a pair of rat bags. And they hatch this plot to hire Michaela Cole's character, who is an artist, but she doesn't exhibit or show anymore. She basically works casual shifts in a food truck and does restoration work. They hired her because she knows a lot about Julian's work to pose as an assistant and secretly finish these unfinished artworks to then later be discovered after their father's death.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible kids. Obviously, what you get instead then is this burgeoning relationship between these two artists who have their, you know, their own kind of emotional burdens and traumas, and you know, it becomes this more fulfilling relationship between two people of generally equals, but there are some secrets that will be unearthed. And it is very funny. It's very dry. It's very wry. It feels very British, even though Soderbergh is an American filmmaker. And it's just this, this two-handed, this back and forth that is just a really pleasant way to spend 2 hours.
Okay. Here's a little bit from it. This is a little clip from the trailer of The Christophers.
Other door.
You said this was a restoration job. It's a forgery job.
We know why you hate him.
Think of this as a way to get revenge.
This isn't about the unfinished Christophers, is it? These don't even speak of them.
Everybody knows what one original Julian Sklar from that period is worth.
I lied. You are to speak of them once. When you tell me they are no more, and then bring me the evidence. It's not that I don't trust you, Laurie. It's just that I don't trust you. Have you ever been betrayed, Laurie?
I was hired by Barnaby and Sally to complete the unfinished Christophers.
And what makes you think that you could do it?
I guess that's where the art of it comes in.
Oh, poo.
He's very good, isn't he?
He's very good. And yes, there is like a bit of like, what is art in here?
Yeah.
But it's never so, you know, prosaic as
it's
that.
Good idea. It's a good idea, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
The Christophers. Okay. It's in cinemas at the moment. Stars?
3.5.
3.5. Okay. Good solid fare. Now, Tuna. This is a movie.
This is a movie.
Cinemas.
Yep. Tuna, as in like to tune something.
As
tuna.
In T-U-N-E-R, not the fish.
Not the fish. Not the big fish that is very delicious. Mm. I'm sure I've just angered some environmentalists there. So this is Tuna. It is a crime thriller, but it is pretty kind of cross-genre. It plays in a few different tones, pun intended. It stars Leo Woodall, Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman.
We don't see him that often,
how old is Dustin Hoffman?
In his 80s, I think.
He's got to be.
Yeah, the last time I saw him was in Megalopolis.
Is he all right?
I think so. He's pretty good in this. Okay. You know, he's curmudgeonly and
Yeah, I just hadn't heard from him for a while. I just assumed he was.
Yeah, because Megalopolis came out tending the roses or like something. 10 years ago. No, sorry, 3 years ago. So it's been a while.
Okay.
So the main character is the one that Leo Woodall plays. He's a young man who has like perfect pitch hearing, but he has a condition that he basically has to wear earplugs and headphones all the time because he's so sensitive to the sounds of the world. But he's the apprentice to Dustin Hoffman's character, who's a piano tuner. And in his line of work, he accidentally essentially comes across this band of thieves because his hearing is so perfect. He can break into safes.
Oh, because he can hear the little clicks.
Because he can hear the little clicks. And so
safes even make clicks anymore? Anyway, they some do. Some of these do in this movie.
They do. I mean, you know, safes are really heavy and also hard to replace. Might as well keep them if you've got one. So they do in this movie. And so he falls in with this band of thieves and obviously shenanigans ensue. There is a love interest who's a pianist. And there's a lot of trouble comes out of being accidentally recruited into the world of thievery. It's a really interesting film because there's a few different elements here that are working really well for it. A, I actually think this is the best performance I've seen from Leo Woodall. He's a British actor. He's sort of on his way up. You know, he was in the second season of The White Lotus. He's been in that Netflix young adult romantic drama One Day. He was in the most recent Bridget Jones's Diary as the boy toy love interest. And I think, you know, he feels like someone who's been bubbling where the performances have been like pretty good, but nothing that I've gone like, oh, wow, this guy is so someone to watch. And in here, I was like, okay, Leo Woodall has arrived. He's, you know, an exciting talent that I think we will now be watching for the next 10 to 20 years. And also, again, Dustin Hoffman, fantastic. You just want to see him around all the time. It's got really good sound design, and I mean, which I think is essential for a movie like this, to for a character like this. And it's very well paced. It's got its own rhythms and yet again, dryly funny without being too overtly broad and genuinely quite unpredictable in some of the crime thriller elements. There were parts where I felt very tense where I was like, oh my God, how is he going to get out of this?
Okay, here is a bit from the trailer of Tuner, T-U-N-E-R.
Excuse me?
Yes, ma'am.
The toilet's leaking. I'll give you an extra 100.
What'd she say?
She wants us to fix the toilet.
We're piano tuners. We fix pianos.
200.
500, we'll talk. Harry Horwitz is piano tune and repair. This is Nicky. He is my apprentice. He has a hearing condition. But believe it or not, he's a virtuoso.
Virtuoso, huh?
Maybe you can inspire him.
Okay, thank you, Harry.
Close your eyes. What's this?
C, F sharp. E7 flat 9. F sharp, G, A sharp, B over D sharp.
You never take those out?
No.
I get hyperacusis. I'm allergic to loud noises.
Hello? You know how long you're gonna be? It's loud.
As long as it takes. Unless you can open the safe. If you want to make real money, give me a call.
Great film.
All right. Crime, drama, romance. It's a thriller. Tuner is the name. Stars?
Four stars. Really okay. Like this.
All right. And now Cape Fear. Now this is a TV series of Cape Fear. Now there's been two movies, hasn't
there? Two movies. And of course that Simpsons episode.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is iconic, Sideshow Bob stepping on all those rakes and then singing Gilbert and Sullivan. That is like the imprinted Cape Fear on me.
The 1991 film with Jack Nicholson was also
De Niro.
Robert De Niro.
Yeah, Robert
right.
De Niro.
Was also
very good.
Very, very good.
Very
so
good.
Was the 1962 version.
With
well.
Gregory Peck.
That's right. So it's got a long history, this. So this is a TV series. What is it at? Is it any good?
It is pretty good, and it does not shy away from the history of those prior productions.
Mm-hmm.
Because it Bernard Herrmann, who of course was a long-time collaborator of Alfred Hitchcock, did that 1962 score, and it's being sort of reworked throughout these other adaptations, and they do it here as well. So you hear those strings and, you know, those chords, and you're just back in that moment. I mean, yes, for many people, either the Martin Scorsese one or the 1962 one, for me, The Simpsons. And but what is interesting, though, is those prior adaptations are two-hour movies. And in a way, it's almost, they're almost simple in the sense of you have this menacing, unstoppable figure of terror who comes at this American family, albeit not perfect, but sort of represents this virtuosity, well, this virtue of American family-ness. Here it is far more complicated. You've got 10 hours in which you have to stretch out that story. It's so much more complex. It's much more rooted in, you know, 2026 kind of anxieties. And what I thought was one of the biggest departures is not the fact that they've gender swapped the main oppositional character, which Nick Nolte and Gregory Peck played in those previous films. And now it's Amy Adams, who plays the lawyer who was Max Cady's prior lawyer that he blames for his incarceration, is the fact that previously you knew that Max Cady, the bad guy, had done the original crime that he was accused of.
Yeah,
here, at least in the first 8 episodes out of 10 that they made available, you do not know if he did the original crime.
Oh, okay.
So it's not necessarily he was always a monster. It's kind of giving you this contention that prison may have created the monster. Oh. And I think that does change the dynamics of things. And, you know, they've got a couple of teenage kids here that also get caught up. There are some secret characters. There is a callback, a very specific one to the 1991 film. They've cast somebody from the 1991 film in this, which we're not allowed to reveal who it is, in the same way that the Scorsese film cast Gregory Peck and Robert Mitchum in that one.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like, it works. The anxiety and the suspense and the tension works at a different level because it's so much more discombobulating and you don't ever really feel like you're on solid ground as to what people are guilty of. So it's scary in a different way.
Where can you see it?
It's on Apple TV. So the first two episodes are out and it's a weekly release, which I think is a good thing. I don't think you want to binge this. Otherwise, you're just going to be a ball of nerves.
Okay, here's a bit from it.
I had a good life once, too.
We did what we thought was right.
Talk about having it all. You deserve this.
Is that blood?
Something's really wrong.
Oh, my God.
What is your worst fear? You deserve this.
What are you doing here, Max?
He's coming after my family.
You deserve this.
We need to be ready.
What did you do?
Is there any way Max could know about what we did?
You deserve this. You deserve this.
I mean, that's Javier Bardem, and we know he can play a bad guy.
Yeah, he is a bad guy. Stars for this?
3.5.
3.5?
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Cape Fear, 3.5 stars on Apple TV. Tuna, it's a movie at the cinema with Dustin Hoffman and Leo Woodall. That's 4 stars, and the Christopher's in the cinema at the moment, which sounds pretty fun, with Ian McKellen and Michaela Cole, 3.5 stars.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. Thanks, Wendy.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife. Woo!